Good afternoon. It's great seeing some of you here. Obviously, lunch wasn't too distracting. Anyway, we were asked to say a few words about ourselves. I'm an attending neonatologist, so I'm an active clinician taking care of critically ill babies in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of North Carolina, and I'm also on faculty at the School of Public Health. By way of background, I am the PI on a number of NICHD multi-site studies. One of, in particular, is on verbal autopsy in community settings. I also work with the as a co-PI with the WHO on a sepsis study going on in Nigeria, Kenya, and the Congo. And I'm also the PI of the study. So, it's called the Stillbirth and Neonatal Death Study. And as with any study that's done, there are a whole group of very bright co-investigators who I'm particularly grateful for. And unfortunately, I don't have any money, any great wealth to make from this talk, so join with me in sorrow. So what's the background to this talk? Well, there's 60 million births, actually, worldwide. Globally. And of these, there are 6 million stillbirths and early neonatal deaths. And by early neonatal deaths, I mean deaths within the first 7 days of life. This translates roughly to about 684 deaths every hour. And so by the time I would have finished this talk, we'd probably have had close to 300 stillbirths and early neonatal deaths. It's a big problem. And what's the landscape? Well, 99% of these deaths occur, perhaps not surprisingly, in low and middle-income countries. And West Africa has some of the highest perinatal mortality rates globally. The added problem is that there are very weak data management and vital registration systems, which leads to real paucity of high-quality morbidity and mortality data. I'm going to talk about Ghana, which is in West Africa, next to my colleague in Togo. And it is, I wish I had a pointer, but it has a population of about 22 million people, and it's about 92,000 square miles. It's about the size of Indiana and Illinois. And the lingua franca is English. Quite a number of Christians and Muslims and traditional people who have traditional beliefs, and a wide array of natural resources. As far as the perinatal landscape in Ghana goes, about 60% of deliveries that occur in rural areas occur outside of health facilities, and so it really brings into sharp focus the point I made earlier that there's very little information on perinatal mortality in general. Much of the information that comes up is taken from either small hospital studies, a lot of complex and furious modeling. And to give you an example, the DHS database reported on stillbirths for the very first time in 2004. And in the northern part of Ghana, a place where there's a population of over a million, there were zero stillbirths that were reported. But again, a lot of furious modeling that went on. The study setting is actually a place called Navrongo. It's called the Navrongo Health Research Center. And this place runs a demographic and health surveillance system. And so every 4 months, key community informants go into the community and take information on births, deaths, migrations, marriages, pregnancies, and a whole host of other questions. And then in addition to that, they supplement the data they have using a technique called verbal autopsy. And verbal autopsy is a way of finding out a cause of death where you go and basically interview the primary caregiver. And in the case of stillbirths and early neonatal deaths, the primary caregiver is typically the mother. And you sort of gather in all the signs and symptoms and the circumstances around the death, and then typically send that information to physicians who then code a cause of death based on fairly strict criteria. So just very quickly, you know, if there's a death in the community, the verbal autopsy interviewer goes to that community, goes to a particular mother after a period of mourning, gets information, asks using a structured questionnaire, and then assigns a cause of death. And then, you know, other things like cause-specific mortality fractions can be calculated from that. So the area that much of the work, this work was done in, is called the Kasena Nankana District. It has a population of about 150,000 people, and it's about 1,700 square kilometers. 90% of it is pretty rural, subsistence farmers, generally speaking. There's very little electricity, few health facilities, very few motorable roads, and unfortunately, this is pretty representative of rural West Africa. So our study purposes were twofold, and today I'm going to talk about the quantitative aspect of our study, which is just trying to understand information, quantitative information about stillbirths and early neonatal deaths. And then tomorrow I'll go ahead and talk about some of the qualitative work that we've done that have really contextualized and provided a real rich understanding of the circumstances and the sort of beliefs and practices, etc. But that's for tomorrow. So for today, I'm going to report on the quantitative aspects of this study. And the first was, our first study purpose was to identify stillbirths and early neonatal deaths in the Upper East. And then the second purpose was really to try and characterize them. Timing, cause of death, what were some of the maternal and newborn risk factors. So essentially, as I mentioned earlier, we have every 4 months there's information that's collected from a community, individuals within the community. And these are put into a large database, and we got this de-identified data that had recorded all the pregnancies, births, infant deaths. And we decided to use the time frame from January of 2002 to December of 2008. And then sort of linked in some of the maternal health data and the demographic data around the infants and combined them into this analysis. We did all the right things and the clever things, as I mentioned up here, and grouped our perinatal mortality ratio factors into three domains. The first was sort of maternal sociodemographic and obstetric characteristics. The second was delivery location, and the third were infant characteristics. So within this time frame, we had over 20,000 pregnant women registered in that the Navrongo Health Demographic Surveillance System. And we were able to report on close to 19,000 women where there was 7 days worth of follow-up. Out of those, there were 293 early neonatal deaths. And if I might remind you, again, early neonatal deaths are deaths within the first 7 days of life. We also were able to report on stillbirths that had occurred during this period of time. So just by way of, just quickly to give a sense of the mothers, about two-thirds of them had received antenatal care and were socioeconomic status 1 to 3, so relatively poor. 77% of them had one or more children. Three-quarters were 34 years and below. And over 90% of these mothers had primary or no education and were married or cohabiting. Thinking of the deliveries, again, about two-thirds of them were full-term and occurred in the home, again, accentuating the point I made earlier that for many parts of the world, the majority of deliveries actually occur in the home as opposed to in a health facility. 97% of the deliveries are singletons. We calculated a stillbirth rate of 23 per thousand and early neonatal death rates of 16 per thousand. When we did the regression analyses and popped them into a model, there were three major factors that were significantly affected or that significantly altered perinatal mortality rates. The first were multiple deliveries. So women who had multiple deliveries were more than five times, were five times more likely, as it were, to have a perinatal death. Similarly, there was a nearly threefold chance of having a perinatal death if the baby was less than 32 weeks. And if the mother had no children and this was her first pregnancy, then she was twice as likely to have a perinatal death versus if she'd had one or two or three other babies. We looked at the timing of these early neonatal deaths, these deaths in the first 7 days of life. And on the horizontal axis, you can see the postnatal age in days. And on the vertical axis, it's the proportion of deaths as a percentage. And as you might see, up to 40% of deaths occurred on the very first day. And by the third day, over 75% of deaths had occurred as well. When we looked at the timing of these early neonatal deaths by cause, we found some interesting things. And again, these will have implications, policy implications, and future implications, as I'll talk about. So on the first day of life, the most likely cause of death was actually birth asphyxia and birth trauma. By comparison, infections were fairly low. And yet by the seventh day, infections were the most common cause of death. So again, as I say, a lot of implications down the line for policy. We also tried to understand what the causes of these early neonatal deaths were over this seven-year period. And the big three that jumped out at us were birth asphyxia and birth trauma, infections, and prematurity. Other conditions such as disorders related to the perinatal period and congenital malformations and neonatal jaundice, etc., were a much smaller percentage. So what conclusions did we draw? Well, we came to understand, or coming to understand, that stillbirth and early neonatal deaths remain a significant problem in the Kasena Nankana district of northern Ghana, and that probably about 10 years ago, there had been a previous study that had compared the leveling off of death, or compared early neonatal death rates, or looked at early neonatal death rates, and had shown that these levels were beginning to decline. Our study suggests that the decline has actually leveled off now, and so there certainly needs to be renewed engagement in how to understand what to do about these neonatal deaths and stillbirths. The national estimates, which I tried to explain earlier, come about from very clever modeling and furious modeling, as I call it, are actually maybe a little generous in that I think that our stillbirth rates, which are what counted deaths as opposed to modeled stillbirths, are much higher than the official statistics would show. And then prematurity, multiple birth, and primiparity confer the highest risk for perinatal deaths, early neonatal deaths, and stillbirths. So, as I mentioned before, 40% of early neonatal deaths occur on the first day, and by the third day, 70% of them have occurred. And the risk of these early neonatal deaths is highest for birth asphyxia and birth injuries. I mentioned also that the big three, birth asphyxia, prematurity, and infections, cause about 75% of these neonatal deaths, early neonatal deaths. So what are the implications for this? Well, I think there are numerous implications. This certainly really draws our eye to the fact that one really needs an improved perinatal care right across the spectrum, from pregnancy, ideally in an ideal world, actually, if I had my druthers, 3 months before conception, maybe 10 years, but in a practical sense, even preconception, but at least across the continuum from pregnancy. And these include concepts such as continuously training community health workers to more accurately recognize and counsel mothers, increased access to skilled birth attendants, meaning trained nurses, midwives, physicians, and then better training for the nurses, midwives, and physicians to manage things such as birth asphyxia, etc., which we can talk about on a later occasion. And then sort of prompt referrals and access of mothers who are having difficulties with their pregnancies and their babies from centers that are unable to take care of them to sort of higher level or secondary or tertiary level settings. I think clearly the fact that infections also grew and by the seventh day were the most common cause really make another strong case for improved hygienic practices and also optimal cleaning and utilization of equipment. As I say, I think that for me, even though this is a desperate need and is very much the case for much of the developing world, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, equally importantly is that sort of rich contextualization of trying to understand the influence of culture and sociologic practices during pregnancy, childbirth, infancy, recognition of danger signs, how to manage cord care and all that. And that conversation will be tomorrow. So where is this going now? We don't just want it to stop in a publication and the end of the story. A couple of things we've done so far. There's a group of other demographic health surveillance units that are spread across much of sub-Saharan Africa and some in Southeast Asia. And we are using our work as the basis for doing a network-wide study, which would have access to over 8 million children, to really try to, or 8 million subjects, to really try to understand even more what the burden of stillbirth, the burden of early neonatal death, and to really start trying to tease out what are the factors that are preferably modifiable in this tragic situation that does occur, unfortunately, with more frequency than many of us appreciate. I would like, at this point, to thank our project field and data coordinating staff and the staff of the Health Research Center, a terrific group of very, very committed people. Certainly the universities of North Carolina, Michigan, and Ghana, which is where many of my co-investigators are housed. I'd like to thank them also. But most of all, I'd really like to thank the communities of the Kasena-Nankana district, especially the mothers and their babies. Thank you very much.